Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and He has much to say in the mighty name of Jesus. The Lord loves us. Everything He do is out of His love for us. And as we are guided by the Holy Spirit, we can learn something new. And guess what you're going to have to do when you receive the revelation of God? Over time, you're going to see deception for what it is. Over and over again, as I've spent time with the Lord, at first, there were things the Lord was training me for. I didn't see. I had to trust Him on it. But as He gave me revelation, I never would continue with what I knew to be error. As He gave me revelation, it exposes the error that we have received before we knew better. See, Jesus put it this way. He said, a good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. Which means that a true prophet, that's how you'll know a true prophet from a false prophet. The false prophet cannot bear good fruit, and a true prophet cannot bear bad fruit. But what's happening is people are coming out of darkness, and we grow from glory to glory, and there are things that got past us. That's just the way it is, and the Lord had to work with us. The way God dealt with people 30 years ago, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But He had to work with us when we didn't know better. People coming out of the world, they're not going to know everything right off the bat. They depend on culture, culture is involved. But what has to happen as you receive the revelation of God, you have to you move the error out of the way, and you receive what God said. As the Holy Spirit guides you into all truth, as you fill your heart with the Word, it's like my pastor said years ago, demons fall off your life. They have nothing to tempt you with when you fill your heart with the Word of God. Some things, they fall away. The sin came attached to you. You stop fearing it, and you start having faith. So you have the ability to drive it out of your life. And if you're motivated and study the Word, a lot of things are just going to fall away. But that doesn't happen with everybody. It takes training in the Holy Spirit to get rid of junk sometimes. And that's what I want to share. See, the enemy did things a long time ago, generations ago, even thousands of years ago. People are still doing things that's tied to what happened in the past. And I see this socially. Individuals live the drama of their parents. You know, if I've seen girls that's raised by women that's bitter against men. And I've seen men that's sorry and won't work because their daddy was not around. And they were raised by women. And when they have children, their children don't work either. They have a lot of problems because they don't want to work. Everybody I know that refused to work got problems. And they cause problems, and they leave a trail of misery wherever they go. Now, but it's just, I've seen it so many ways. It's amazing. Even people that have a lot going for them, if their grandmother was bitter against men, it's not written in stone. I'm not trying to say that. They're not doomed to this fate. But their grandmother left a hurdle. And if they don't break through it, if they don't jump over it, and if they don't get a breakthrough, they mess up their relationships. I've seen this with my own eyes so many ways. See, when people are bitter, they voice whatever their concerns are. And when it's time for them to be happy for their daughter getting married. They tell them everything to watch out for, and now their daughter's on defense. All kind of, I've seen it. So, and I ain't gonna tell you everything I've seen. I've seen enough. And a lot of things I would love to forget about. But when you come from a healthy background, it's easier to have better relationships. But what you, at that point, you have to, if you had good parents like I did, and you don't have an excuse for, but sin is still there. The enemy's trying to find something to get you off track, to start a problem. And I learned these things in life. But no matter what I went through, I had the memory of how my parents did things to fall back on. So that gave me strength. The other, that when you come up in a good home, you have to fortify your heart, not to deviate, but build on the foundation that you've been given. And I started realizing that. See, I thought that was a time I thought that everybody came from a good home, because everybody I knew came from, you know, I knew the people in my neighborhood. And this lasted until I was an adult. See, I used to ride my mini bike in that neighborhood, and I would see husbands on the front porch talking to their wives, reading the newspaper, laughing and joking. Nobody fighting, fussing, throwing pots and pans at each other, cussing each other. I didn't see that. But I rode around on other streets, and I seen things that, you know, I seen people that didn't have both parents. Somebody's parent may have died or divorced or something. You didn't hear about divorce as much in those days, because more people went to church and more people stayed married, and they just about did what they were supposed to. And, you know, it was easy for me to believe that most people were that way, until I got grown and started working at people's houses. And I saw other things. And I saw things that, you know, I learned that the world is much different than I thought it was. And the Lord blessed me to see it. And I said, you know, and I wanted the love that I found in church. I wanted people to know God, who could solve every problem. Now, this is the, I'm saying all that to say this. What you learn in culture, you have to break through it. Just like the daughter of the that had the bitter grandmother. Again, she was bitter against men. Well, for her, she has to go to the Word. All men are not, they're not as bad as her grandmother thinks. She had a bad experience, maybe two or three. So, you know, who knows what she went through to get her to be that way. In her culture, all men were evil. So, when the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. And children don't just learn the word of God from you. They learn everything you do, everything you say, and the way you say it, and the convictions you have. They learn all of it. And then they form a culture out of all that. And hopefully God is in there strong enough to help them jump over the hurdles. Now, shifting gears. When the Lord taught me about following God, in my Pentecostal mind, and I had already been to the Methodist Church, and now I'm seeing people doing things in the Holy Spirit. I'm seeing the love of God manifest. I'm seeing miracles. I thought everything was great, because it was like a graduation from the Methodist Church that shone the spiritual things. They just kind of kept everything in under a certain glory. You know, they learned God. They got saved. They experienced me. Now, they do. I'm going to tell you something. If a person is washed in the blood, and they're going to have some miracle somewhere. But the problem was, in the Methodist Church, when God do something in their life, they don't talk about it because they didn't want to seem odd. Because in that culture, you don't talk about what God told you. God would give the ministers a message, but they didn't say God gave it to me. But he would give a message. My dad, I was grown. My dad said God always give me a message. And so he was working with them all along. They just downplayed it. There are Baptist preachers that I heard, I said, they must be secret tongue talkers because they teach so perfectly. You know, when I listen to David Jeremiah, Charles Stanley, I said, no, I heard their doctrine. They're honest people. They believe whatever they say. I said, something's going on. And I put this before the Lord. And you know, when you put things before the Lord, you're going to get an answer. That's why I believe in doing that. I was doing a radio broadcast with my pastor, and he talked about the Spirit of God within and the Spirit of God upon. I never connected those dots before. See, Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, he breathed on them and said, once they believed, and said, receive the Holy Ghost. And they did. The Holy Spirit within. When you're washed in the blood, you have the Holy Spirit within. You receive. You want God, and the Holy Spirit will live in your spirit. Now, in Acts, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon them for work purposes. See, the Holy Spirit within, he explained, that's for training. And that's what I was seeing happen. But the culture of the denominational churches, in most cases, they downplay the interactive spiritual things of God, such as healing, and they were taught wrong. And that somebody a long time ago started a teaching that when the apostles died out, healing went away, tongues went away. Paul said tongues will cease, but not now. He didn't mean then. When Jesus come back, that's just like when his disciples didn't fast. When the bridegroom is gone, then they'll fast. We need those gifts now operating. When we go to heaven, we can talk to God direct. Think about it. You have to, but right now we need everything that the apostles had and more. So, a long time ago, a teaching was set forth, and people kind of allowed it. They didn't challenge it. So this is why I'm saying this. A lot of things are not challenged that should have been known a long time ago. And see, when we follow God, God will help us to break through the disastrous things that we've accepted as true. And I can go on and on doctrinally, but that's not going to solve. If you get a doctrine straight, you still got problems. All right, now I can prove it. If the Lord give you something to do, will you see it through to his specifications? Or will you attempt to do it according to your specifications? When the Lord taught me about following God, I thought this was going to be like it would take me maybe a year to get to the pastors that he assigned me to. And then they would fall in place, and then they would form an example, and then other people would catch on, and then I'll go on to something else. That's and they were word preachers. They loved the word. They operated in faith. I saw miracles in their ministries. And he sent me to the strongest ministers first. And he taught me that way. He said, the way you make change, you can't teach you have to teach the pastors. And you have to, if the pastors get on board, then they'll teach the people. And, you know, he trained me for what I had to do. He explained things to me. I didn't see a thing wrong. I said, Lord, I don't see nothing wrong. I did not see the problem. But you know what he did? He showed it to me. He had a way of showing it to me. He gave me words. He gave me a word for the church. But he told me this. He said, if he don't allow you to speak it, don't speak it. So I'm bubbling inside. I got this word. I got the burden of the word. It's joy. I can feel the joy of it. I couldn't wait to give it and share it. Now, this was not the church. This was another church. Another pastor was supposed. He looked at me, but he didn't say anything. Then he recognized another lady, and she spoke the word I had. She spoke a part of it. I would say maybe a third of it. But that was more God wanted to share. But the pastor didn't allow it. And so I started seeing, the Lord put me in a position to see what he see. See, I don't say these things lightly. I don't like talking about failure that people have. But in this case, I have to. Following God, people are trying to obey God on their terms. Why would a person do that? Well, it's the same reason that the granddaughter is looking at men in the glasses of her grandmother negatively. Whatever is allowed as truth, that's what people do. The Lord taught me also, I was doing a seminar. He said, I'll never forget this. He said, Satan tempts people inwardly to fear what society thinks outwardly. I mean, not outwardly, but collectively. He tempts you or me as an individual to fear what society believes collectively. Some things people allow because they don't want to be odd. They know it's not right, or they sense it's not perfect. I put it that way. Among Christians, they sense that it's not perfect, but this is what everybody's doing. This is what the leadership did. I don't want to, and I'm going to tell you something. Kenneth Hagin's a great man of God. But I found people that love his works, they will not openly disagree with him. If he, he was always sound to me. But I'm just using that for an example. People don't want to be odd. But when you're in God's presence and God show you something, you have the responsibility to allow the light to shine out. And that's what was happening in my case. This was a much deeper problem than I assessed. I didn't know. I thought that people master faith, they're getting people healed, and they're learning about faith and how to apply it. People are doing better. Some people did things out of order, but God blessed them anyway. Some people got in debt trying to look the part. All kinds of things happen in the faith movement. Many valid miracles and a few things that wasn't so good. But, when people follow God, God can help you navigate. See, when you act on any fear, you got a problem. And people didn't know that. They were acting on faith, but their fears and their doubts hindered them. They bought cars out of time, at the wrong season. They didn't know how to yield to the Holy Spirit and be guided by Him. Now, in ministry, giving God the reins of your heart and saying, Lord, I obeyed God because I would have probably chickened out in some cases. But every time I obeyed Him, I learned something. Let's say every time I obeyed Him, I learned 10 more things. Just using number 10 for an example. It was much greater than I thought. To the good, and I avoided a detriment. Every time I obeyed Him, I couldn't see. I obeyed God because He said do it. I told Him I would obey Him, so I had to. When God gets, He sent me to these, I did not. 50% of the time, I did not want to take that word to that pastor. But I had a vow, so I had to pray in the Holy Ghost and get over it. But what I found out was, it was necessary. And it could have helped him go forward. At least, I obeyed God, so it wasn't my fault. I did what I was supposed to do. He didn't do, but I needed to see the things that were going on that I didn't know before. I had to receive knowledge. I had to receive understanding. So when God showed me these things and I obeyed Him, I learned more. I saw a greater need. And every time it happened, I said, I realized it was worse than I thought. But to them, everything is good. Just like it was for me back in 1991. I didn't see a problem in 91. I was learning. In 92, I said, this is serious. In 93, I'm like, Lord, how are you going to deal with this? This is worse. This is much worse than I thought it was. And he had an alternate plan, which I didn't want him to have. He taught me this. He said, if the pastors will follow me now, it's better that they follow me now. And if they do, I can do a much greater revival. I can do greater things. A lot of things were held back because they did not follow God to his specifications. They did more of whatever they thought was best. They didn't fully yield. Okay, I made that clear, so I'm going forward now. Now let's backtrack. Where did error form? The mindset of society. People are coming out. And pastors, when you have a church on Sunday morning and you get a lot of visitors, the Holy Spirit will arrange the message for people that's just coming in like a kindergarten. But let's say a Wednesday night or even a Sunday night, the strongest Christians, the hungriest Christians are going to come back out. All right. Among the crowd, now I've been to church all my life. People that come out at night in the middle of the week or Sunday, they want to know God. So those are the best messages of every ministry. If it's a ministry of God, you get the best teaching on Wednesday night, Sunday night. Or a revival night. Then you got people that's super hungry. They study the word. Sunday school. People that get up early and go to Sunday school. They want to know God. So the Holy Spirit's moved even greater in a Sunday school class sometimes than he can on a Sunday morning service. But sometimes you got a church full of mature believers. That's just the usual. That's not how it always is. But normally that's the case. On Sunday you got a lot of people will go on Sunday that won't. They won't persevere at other times. It just depends on who's there and how hungry they are. But okay, we made that point. So let's go on. The mindset of people. The Holy Spirit responds to hunger and maturity. So if the leadership show them greater things, they'll gravitate to it and receive it. All right. If a newcomer comes along and shares more light, they're gonna feel challenged. Because, okay, he's saying this, but this is not what I'm used to. They're gonna be just like I was in 91. By the time it got to be 95 and 96, now I see what God was saying. But the Lord said, it's better for the pastors that know me now, that's following me now, do what they should do. He told me that in 92. And he said, if they don't, I'm going to raise up a new generation. He said, I'm going to raise up Nebuchadnezzar. That's how he put it. I said, Nebuchadnezzar, he's people off the street. He's going to save people off the street, people unknown, and raise them up and give them this knowledge. I said, that's going to take longer. Yeah, it's going to take a generation, a new generation, basically. And I didn't want that. I wanted that to happen. Not that I didn't, I'm glad. I thank God for his plan. He was going to find somebody that would follow him. But it would have been so, and I used to yearn for the pastors of that day to follow God. But then he never stopped teaching me. 30 years later, he's still teaching me principles about following God now. And I'm explaining things that I wanted to explain then. But since then, I learned so much more about following God. Now, anybody that takes this serious and begin to follow God, he's going to fill in your blanks, not me. I'm just alerting you to something that must happen. You got to be able to hear God, receive everything that he's saying. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. So whatever God brings to you, I put it on the top shelf. That's the best thing. Whatever God bring to you, that goes above every plan you got. And you come up to it and you do it. And don't let anybody stop you. You got to break through culture problems. Now, to make this short, a lot of Israel's problems, the main problems came from one man. Israel had a good king, David, and then Solomon. Now, let's look at 1 Kings chapter 11. Okay, this is 1 Kings chapter 11. I'm going to read the first verse. But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Amorites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. You can trace everything to here. Long story short, God fired, he took 10 tribes and gave them to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Solomon got wind of it, chased him out of town. He went to Egypt. He learned to be a witch. He came back. Now, I looked in my concordance and I found 25 references of the phrase Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Many of them were kings. Most of them were kings that sinned after the order of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. So Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, he put a golden calf in Bethel and one in Dan so the people wouldn't go to Israel and kick him out of office. If God gave it to him, he didn't have that fear, but he acted on fear and he ended up being destroyed because of it. Anytime you act on fear, you create precisely what you fear. And that caused him to be destroyed. He had one descendant that God allowed to die as a child because God saw something in the child. He didn't let the child grow up. He died. Because Jeroboam would have corrupted him. So he's just an old witch king. He learned it in Egypt because of what Solomon did, marrying these crazy women that were witches. Nevertheless, let's continue forward. Baasha sinned after Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Omri. So did Ahab. He sinned after the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Then Jehoram. Jehu even did. The man that destroyed Baal out of Egypt. Then he started sinning according to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and so did his four sons, Jehoahaz, Jehoash, Jeroboam. The last one was named Jeroboam. You see how corruption is? It went from Jehu and named the fourth generation. Zechariah was the fourth generation. But the third one, they named him after Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the witch. It's getting worse. Then Gadai. All right. They sinned after the order of the son of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. I didn't see that phrase anymore after that. But it continues on in 2 Kings. Let's see. It goes all the way down to 23, that phrase is 23:15. So you got other people that sinned after Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and which caused Israel to go into captivity. Now, Hezekiah's son caused him to, Israel to sin. And that put them in bondage, the Babylonian bondage. They got scattered, Assyrian bondage, and they got scattered all about. So culture, if you don't break through it, you're in it. How can you break through the era of culture that you don't even know as wrong? It takes the guidance of the Holy Spirit. If you follow God, you can't be judged for something you don't know. But the things you don't know can hinder what you're doing. A lot of preachers, they're doing all they know and it's not working. And they don't know why. And they go to God and they still don't know why. They can't start a revival. It's not going forward. I mean, it's frustrating to them. And they don't know why. You got to go back to the prayer room. If you can say, Lord, help me do everything you say. You don't even have to make a vow like I did. I made a vow, and that's why I pursued. But because I made the vow, I had to obey God. And from obeying God precisely according to his specifications, everything amped up. It got better. I still had to grow beyond my personal problems. But because he trained me how to follow God, it made that easy. Learning to love his people was that's how I learned everything. I was highly motivated to obey God because of his love. But in doing everything he said, when it didn't make sense to my mind, I found out that was the perfect order of the day. And the more I trust God, the more I want to trust God. And in case something's in my blind spot, that's why I continue to say, everything that's not like God got to go. I mean it every time, and I say it fresh every time. We got to trust God, and we got to come to that point where whatever he say goes. If you can receive this message, God's going to fill in all of your blanks, and you will be able to do the greater things if it's not too late. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ.